Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Utkarsh Small Finance Bank Limited Q4 FY 2026 earnings call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan Shah from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Hi, Dipesh. Yeah, thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Q4 FY 2026 results conference call of Utkarsh Small Finance Bank. We would like to thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. From the management, we have Mr. Govind Singh, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Sarju Kumar Praveen Simaria, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Amit Acharya, Chief Risk Officer, Mr. Virender Sharma, Head Microbanking, Mr. Saurabh Ghosh, Head Consumer Banking, and Mr. Abhay Kataria, Head of Assets. Yeah. Now without further ado, I would like to hand over the floor to the management. Thank you, and over to you, Govind, sir. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Chintan. Thanks a lot. Thanks for hosting this call. Yeah. Thank you everyone for joining our quarter four FY 2026 earnings call. The fourth quarter of FY 2026 has been a period of renewed growth, proof of resilience and cautious optimism. As a part of industry, we also went through adverse impact of MFI segment, as you are aware, guardrails for a longest period of one and a half year. However, for us, FY 2026 has been a year of deliberate choices, prioritizing stability over speed, quality over quantity, and resilience over short-term expansion, growing so that we emerge with a stronger, fundamentally stronger, less cyclical, franchise that can deliver sustainable returns over the medium and long term. FY 2026 began under the shadow of legacy stress and a cautious environment. Over the course of the year, we focused on stabilizing collection, tightening underwriting, and rebalancing the portfolio mix. These actions were designed to arrest deterioration, reduce fresh slippages, and created the conditions for a durable recovery. By quarter four of FY 2026, we began to see tangible green shoots. Disbursement improves meaningfully, SMA pools contracted, fresh NPA slippages declined sharply, recoveries and upgradations increased, and collection efficiencies strengthened, all of which point to the strategic measures taking hold. Concretely, disbursement improved across both JLG and non-JLG segments in quarter four FY 2026. JLG disbursement grew 58% quarter-on-quarter and 2% year-on-year, while non-JLG disbursement grew 41% quarter-on-quarter and 51% year-on-year. These improvements will expand the portfolio base going forward and reflect a calibrated return to lending activity. At the same time, our ex-bucket collection efficiency in the JLG segment improved to 99.7% in March 2026, up from 98.5% April 2025, the highest level in the last four quarters, a direct outcome of strengthened field execution and targeted collection initiatives. Fresh NPA slippages, net of recoveries and upgradation reduced to 170 crore in quarter four of FY 2026 against 710 crore in the quarter four of FY 2025. Our GNPA ratio improved by 330 basis points quarter-on-quarter to 7.7% as on March 26. These are the early measurable signs that our corrective actions are beginning to deliver. Our central theme of FY 2026 has been structural de-risking of our unsecured exposure and a strategic pivot toward secured and higher yield, lower risk portfolios. This is deliberate long-term shift to reduce cyclicality in the credit cost and create multiple avenues for growth beyond JLG lending. We have consciously moderated our JLG exposure to around 28% of the gross loan book and around 30% including BC/JLG as on March 2026, down from nearly 88% and 90% including BC/JLG in March 2020. This reduction reflects both selective contraction of the JLG book, which declined by around 10% during the quarter, and a purposeful shift from new flows into alternative products. As a result, secured lending now comprises 51% of our gross loan book, up from 43% a year ago. This structural shift is already changing the risk profile of the bank and will over time enhance stability of margins. Within microbanking, our microbanking business loan targeted at graduated JLG customers with proven repayment discipline have shown exceptional traction. MBBL portfolio grew 122% year on year and 40% quarter on quarter and now represent 27% of our microbanking loan book. Penetration remains below 15%, which gives us significant headroom to scale this product to a much larger share of our customer base while preserving asset quality. To further de-risk incremental flows, we have registered with CGFMU for credit guarantee coverage on eligible JLG and MBBL disbursement with effect from 17th March 2025. 45% of our microbank finance book for disbursement till Q3 FY26 already covered under the guarantee scheme, and counting Q4 FY26 disbursement, 70% of the microfinance book is covered. This coverage materially reduces incremental portfolio risk on new disbursement and supports portfolio stability as we scale higher quality secured products. Diversification beyond JLG has been a key strategic priority, and FY26 has seen healthy momentum across our non-JLG lending businesses. These segments not only broaden our revenue base but also deliver attractive yields and more resilient collateral profiles. MSME loan book expanded by 15% year on year to 4456 crore, supported by the newly started micro LAP segment, which is delivering disbursement yield of 18%. Housing loans grew by 8% year on year to 990 crore, and our BBG portfolio, business banking group portfolio, fully secured against immovable collateral, grew by 19% year on year. CV and CE segment also was indicating the need to look at the mix of new versus used vehicles, as the former was signaling riskier behavior, and therefore the loan book contracted by 1% quarter over quarter to 1090 crore, and the share of used vehicles grew to almost 30% in FY26 from less than 15% a year ago, reflecting our strategic tilt towards more resilient asset classes. Collectively, these moves are increasing the share of secured assets in the book and improving overall portfolio resilience. On the liability side, our focus has been on building a granular, low-cost deposit base and aligning deposit growth with disbursement. Total deposits were broadly stable with 0.4% year-on-year growth and around 3% quarter-on-quarter growth, while retail term deposits grew by 20% year-on-year. Our CASA deposits increased by 11% year-on-year and 13% quarter-on-quarter, lifting the CASA plus RDD ratio to 83% as of March 26 from 17% on March 25. And the CASA ratio improved to 24% as on March 2026. These improvements reflect better quality of account sourcing and a conscious reduction in reliance on bulk deposits. In response to the RBI repo rate cuts, we have phase reduction in interest rate on savings and term deposits remain competitive while optimizing cost of funds. These calibrated repricing have driven a reduction in our overall cost of funds by more than 45 basis points year on year and more than 20 basis points quarter on quarter, moving from 8.3% quarter 4 FY25 to 8.1% in quarter 3 FY26 and 7.9% in quarter 4 FY26. We expect cost of fund to reduce further as pricing continues to take effect. Repricing continues to take effect. We also maintain prudent liquidity buffers. Our CD ratio declined to 83% as on March 2026 from 87% as on March 2025. And we ended the quarter with surplus liquidity of almost 3800 crore and an LCR of 178%. These matrices provide us the flexibility to support calibrated disbursement while preserving balance sheet resilience. Income compression led to elevated cost-income ratio for the financial year, which impacted the PPOP. If adjusted for interest reversal due to fresh NPA slippages, then PPOP would be 140 crore, despite pressure from legacy book leading to elevated credit costs and hence the loss. Our capital position remains healthy. We reported a net loss of 188 crore for the quarter, driven by providing for legacy stress. Our capital adequacy ratio stood at 17.7% as on March 31, 2026, comfortably above the regulatory threshold. to strengthen the tier one base and support growth, future growth. We successfully completed rights issue of 950 crore in November 2025, which has been helping for our capital cushion. In parallel, we proactively address legacy stress through the ARC sale of stress JLG portfolio. This was a deliberate value-enhancing decision that improves balance sheet strength and positions the company on a much cleaner footing for sustainable growth. Following creditors and shareholders on the reverse merger part, following creditors and shareholder approval obtained in accordance with the process of amalgamation, the second motion petition was filed with the NCLT on April 5, 2026 for the scheme of amalgamation of holding company UCL with and into the bank. The reverse merger is expected to be completed in the next few months, subject to NCLT proceedings. Operational discipline has been a central pillar of our FY26 response. We expanded our collections workforce for JLG and MBBL to more than 1,200 as on March 2026, operationalized a specialized call center for overdue accounts and split larger microbanking branches to improve oversight and control. Training programs for new frontline staff emphasized our core processes such as center meetings and customer onboarding, ensuring consistent execution across the field. These structural investments have contributed directly to the improved collection matrices and reduction in SMA and the fresh slippages we reported in Q4 FY26. Technology and process transformation have also been critical. Our Utkarsh 2.0 technology transformation project is delivering tangible benefits in automation, productivity and risk control. Digital underwriting capabilities are helping us avoid lending to over-leveraged borrowers. With 360-degree control parameter mapping strengthens monitoring across the credit cycle. A bank is also in the process of launching new CBS in Q2 of FY27. These investments are not only improving the efficiency but also enhancing our ability to underwrite and monitor risk at scale. We also recognize the importance of our people. During FY26, we incurred a one-time impact related to new labor codes, LTIP and ESOP grants and other employee benefit obligations in Q3 FY26 and its incremental impact in Q4 of FY26. While this weighs on the near-term profitability, it reflects our commitment to compliance, employee welfare and building a motivated, capable workforce to execute our strategy. Training, productivity initiatives and organizational agility will remain central to our transformation journey. Throughout FY26, we took a range of decisive actions to address legacy stress and position the bank for sustainable growth. These included tightened underwriting standards, calibrated disbursement, targeted recoveries and upgradations, selective portfolio resolutions, and measures to improve borrower discipline under the new guardrails. We have also been proactive to de-risking incremental flow-through, as we have mentioned earlier, through CGFMU coverage for eligible JLG and MBBL disbursement and by shifting new origination towards secured and higher quality products. We also have taken steps to improve the quality of new account sourcing and to cross-sell asset products through our liability-focused general banking branches, thereby increasing product penetration per customer and improving wallet share. These actions taken together are designed to reduce the probability of future stress and to create a more diversified, resilient earnings base. We view FY27 as a consolidation year, a period to convert the green shoots seen in quarter four FY26 into sustainable momentum while continuing to strengthen the franchise. Our near-term priorities will be to sustain improved collection performance, continued calibrated disbursement into higher quality segments, deepen secured lending and accelerate liability mobilization to support growth in the prudent manner. In the coming years, we are aiming for loan book growth of 25-30% with secured lending comprising around 55% of the portfolio, maintaining NIM of above 8% and delivering an ROE of around 15%. Achieving these targets will require steady execution across underwriting, collections, product diversification, liability mobilization and technology-enabled risk management. While sectoral headwinds and regulatory transitions may continue to influence near-term performance, we remain confident that the strategic direction we have charted will deliver a stronger, more sustainable franchise over the medium term. In essence, FY26 has been a year of challenge and purposeful transformation. We have moderated risk, strengthened collections, diversified our portfolio, deepened our library franchise and reinforce our capital base. The quarter has shown that the bank is on the path of recovery, and with increase in quality disbursement, better portfolio and deposit mix, improved asset quality with lesser fresh slippages and higher recoveries, upgradations, decline in SMA pool. We will continue to prioritize operational efficiency, discipline execution, and organizational agility. Our strategy is not about chasing rapid growth at expense of stability. It is about building a fundamentally stronger institution that can withstand cycles, deliver sustainable returns, and create enduring value for all the stakeholders. We thank you for your continued support and confidence. With this, I conclude, and now we'll move to question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sagar Shah from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, the congratulations to the management for posting at least better set of earnings as compared to a few quarters. Sir, I had some few questions. My first question was related to our asset quality. On the asset quality, you have mentioned the PCR on the bank level of around 59%. I wanted to understand what is the PCR that we are holding for secured as well as unsecured, both of them individually.
Yeah, sure, sir. Amit, you can just mention that.
Yeah, hi. Amit this side. So if you'll see on the overall book, PCR is 59.3% as you mentioned. On the entire secured book, it stood at 38.7%, and on entire unsecured, it stood around 65.4%.
Okay, so 64.5% that you are saying is for, is it safe to assume that includes MSME unsecured as well as MFI, right?
Yeah, right.
But for own...
65.4, sorry, when I mentioned unsecured 65.4%, it includes all unsecured loans, including MFI.
Right, sir. So only for MFI, what is the PCR that we are holding, sir, now?
Only for JLG, if you see, it would be 66.3%.
Only for JLG and for MBBL, MBBL as well as JLG mixed then?
More or less on the same side, 66.3%. Because for MBBL and for JLG, we do the same kind of provision.
Okay, so is it safe to assume that still some sort of provisioning is still left in the next two quarters, for especially for MBBL and JLG is concerned? Because even if you want to recognize 80% provisioning, aging provisioning, so still some sort of provisioning is left in the next quarters, right? For MBBL as well as JLG?
Yeah, it is there. So,
okay, so...
5% provisioning and some portion on 70% is still remaining.
Okay. So now next year from FY28 onwards, we are migrating to ECL-based provisioning. So what I wanted to understand that how well are we prepared for actually model our asset quality towards that? Because over in the ECL model, our provisioning has to be more aggressive, especially on the SMA2 assets. So how ready are we? Have we figured out a model? How ready are we for the ECL transition, sir?
Well, this Ind-AS beginning is from 1st April is actually SFBs are exempted. So, you know, we still don't have to follow that. I guess it will be some time before RBI brings us into the habit. Having said that, you know, while we have pro forma Ind-AS that we do, and given, you know, honestly, the provisioning for the last year in terms of slippages that has happened. I guess our ECL provisioning, perhaps, or the accounting IK provisioning would be equal to or maybe higher. But your question to be preparedness for India is next year, it doesn't apply to us, in terms of statute requirement.
Okay, fine, sir. My second question, sir, was related to the MSME portfolio. Our GNPA in the last quarter you mentioned was upwards of 12.5% GNPA on the MSME front. So now it constitutes 23% of your total lending portfolio. So what is the GNPA right now, and how is the something like still now the real impact of the West Asia actually conflict is going to reflect in the coming quarter. So what is the GNP right now, and how well are we prepared to actually face that? Are we facing stress in some of our existing portfolios?
So see, if you talk about retail MSME portfolio, the gross NPA stood as on March 26 at 3.4%. And if you see, we do fund to a very, normal ticket size. So we do not fund 20 crore or 30 crore kind of borrowers who have some export or larger export limits or the foreign currency exposure. So as far as geopolitical situation is concerned, there has been no, abnormal behavior in our portfolio so far, which we have been monitoring for last 2.5 months. When Iran-US situation got worse. So we have a close monitoring on it. As far as it is concerned, there has been no issue or portfolio behavioral change in our portfolio as far as MSME is concerned.
Okay, so MSME, the GNPA has come down to 3.5, sir.
3.4%.
3.4. It was at 12.2% you mentioned in the last quarter.
Yeah. And this, when we talk, I just wanted to add one more point. When we talk about this MSME portfolio, largely it is secured by hard collateral like residential or commercial properties. So there is a, security available to the bank in case of any defaults.
Okay. So just one suggestion, sir, from my end. Within the MSME, you have around three segments. Within the MSME, you have the secured business loans, you have unsecured business loan, you have micro LAP also. So if you can just give the breakup actually within your 4,456 crore worth of portfolio, that would be very helpful, sir, to understand that direction the bank is going actually. That would be very helpful. Now, my third question, sir, was related to the disbursements. So disbursements in JLG are going up for the first time in almost, I think, in last many quarters, actually. So what is the reason behind the same? Because the disbursements have three consecutive quarters of decline. Now it has moved up to 1310 crores. So where are we exactly finding the value? Have we actually found... have you gone tough through the underwriting? What is the new portfolio? How is the new portfolio doing actually? And what changes have you made in our existing underwriting systems?
Thanks. This is Virendra. Just to answer your concern, there has been, as you know, that in April 26, the MFIN 2.0 guardrails were implemented. Guardrails were implemented, and there was a sudden increase in PAR, which led to our focus of more onto the collection side and focusing on building up the collections. By third quarter or October, November, we had nearly stabilized on our collections. We always had the distribution and the people to do that part. Once the collection in early bucket started stabilizing, we started putting the thrust on sales back, and we are adhering to all the guidelines as specified in the MFIN 2.0 guidelines. Even industry had seen an upward trend towards the disbursal, FY 25-26 portfolio after this is behaving very well with respect to the collections also. So I will say ki still we are only at a 70% optimum capacity of disbursal, and we should be stabilizing in the same ranges right now.
Okay, sir. Lastly, what is the steady state credit cost that's, that we are eyeing for FY27 and FY28, sir? FY27, sir?
So
any target?
In the previous call, we had mentioned about 2.5% steady state, 3.5 or 3 to 3.5 for 27 and 2 to 2.5 in FY28. With this trajectory of slippages being arrested significantly in terms of SMA going down significantly, with the background that the new disbursements are happening under the new guardrail, with the background that we have a CGM, if you cover, you know, I guess this is a very conservative, you know, number, but we will still stick to the fact that it will be around 3% for FY27 to 2.5 in FY28. We will do better than that, assume, you know, the trajectory, the way we are looking at, and the industry as well is endorsing coming back of the disbursement and the collection being 99.5 plus. I guess this is a conservative number that I'm giving you.
Okay, fine, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shivam Singh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir,
good evening.
I wanted to ask, what is the amount that we are going to get back in CGMFQ cover in the last 1 year, that insurance that we have taken for MFI?
So the way it happens that, you know, I would say, you know, the maturity of NPA as we speak, I think, you know, still it's not an NPA, the disbursement that we have started, while our portfolio as of 31st March, 70% is covered under CGMFU, but the maturity of claim has yet not arrived. I guess, you know, I would hope it doesn't arise, frankly. But maybe a year and a half it takes, you know, the claim and the settlement. But we are also not even wanting to account this credit. And therefore, the entire numbers that we have said is without even considering the credit at this point. Because that's kind of a experience and we don't want to set into a windfall gain. At the moment, the cost of premium is embedded in my P&L. And since we don't have the NPAs, you know, from the new book, well, it appears to be a cost of premium, but we just, you know, protecting our future in terms of any adverse development for future. So for your question to say that is anything matured under CGMFU, the answer is probably too early to, you know, give a number on that.
Just to summarize that, you know, we have taken the cost of CGMFU for last more than a year now, since last quarter four of last year. But we have neither taken accounting benefits and nor we have got any claims so far. So only expense have gone part, but in case something goes, you know, to that extent, in future we'll get the benefit. But in the current one, we have not taken any benefit, only expense has been taken out, taken into account.
And sir, how much of our capital got freed up because of that? As I know that the risk weightage is adjusted if we take the cover.
No, even that has not been done by us. So as I mentioned, we have not taken any benefit of any these guarantee scheme. The accounting, we have done a very plain accounting where we have not taken any benefit of this. So as I mentioned, whatever is there, only expense part have been taken. No benefit either in terms of getting any claim or any adjustment in the NPA or capital adequacy has not been done by us.
Okay, sir. And sir, regarding our Prime Minister's comment in the previous few days, what is our stance? Like, we are trying to grow at 30%, and given the nature of the geopolitical situation, are we, like, what is the segment that we are targeting, and how do we ensure that our credit cost does not increase?
So you see, I mean, you are aware that last year has been a year where we could not grow, so we are at the almost same level, so we have a real low base right now from that perspective, and we have got a full infrastructure in terms of manpower, in terms of number of branches and the lines of trucks and our channels. So I think around 30% growth should not be a problem in the normal one. And our focus remains on the one, obviously we understand microfinance well, so that remains our focus area. And besides that, as you mentioned, there are, you know, various types of LAP products which we have been focusing upon, including the small ticket LAP and normal LAP, as well as the BBG products. So I think LAP and JLG will still remain our key products for going forward also. We have all, obviously we've done something like, you know, gold loan, which we think that we'll be able to grow bigger this year. There are some of the new area also, which we started around 1 to 2 years time. We think that there should be a, you know, further growth in that part. As far as the credit cost is concerned, we do understand, you know, the statement from the Prime Minister, but I don't foresee any challenge because I think most of our portfolio is for income generation and smaller ticket size. We don't foresee much challenge. And anyway, I think we are in recovery path and we have got a good machinery as far as collections is concerned. So we don't foresee any major impact because of that.
Okay, sir, that was really helpful. And sir, in the secured segment, like if there is a default, what is the timeline in which we can get physical control of the asset and auction it off? And what is the LTV value of the secured asset that we are lending to?
Oh, hi, Amrit this side. So normally, you know, when we assess the NPA case and bank decides that we'll have to go on the SARFAESI route, from there, various processes are involved and it takes around 6 to 8 months is a period. So somewhere 6 months, somewhere 8 months, depending on the situation. But that's the normal scenario. 6 to 8 months, you are able to dispose of the property completely by inviting the bid under the SARFAESI. So that is one. Second is the normal LTV, if you will see on the portfolio side, it would be less than 65% around it should be there, because mostly we do residential property on a loan value at 70%. So on outstanding portfolio basis and including our all portfolio, like MicroLab, we offer only 50%. And we do not go beyond that also. So overall, it should be below 65 to 60%.
And sir, what is the average tenure of these loans?
Average tenure, you see, because LAP may smaller borrowers opt for a longer tenure, so the average tenure would be around, 12 to 13 years would be the average tenure given. But if you see the entire portfolio, largely in secured in housing and MSME, customer, takes this loan on an average of 8 to 9 years. And dispose of or foreclose the loan within this particular period.
And sir, what would be the risk weightage for this loan?
So this is, when we talk about LAP, it is 75% is the risk weight largely.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Kumar from Vicario Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. Just one question. What are your capital raise plans?
So immediately we are not having any plans for capital raise. I know it is 17.7%, but I think this year we should be able to sail through on this capital base. Our idea is to first, focus more on the at least when I say capital raise means I'm not talking equity capital. Obviously, we have other means of taking capital like tier 2 capital and sometime, offloading some of the balance sheet items also. So idea is not to go to capital market this on immediate basis and raise through tier 2 or some other means this time in case there are any shortfall or, immediate requirement is there. But not to capital market.
Okay. Understood. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Utpal Saikya as an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my question. Actually, my question only is that in the last phone call, the management has mentioned that we are targeting for 15% ROE in FY28. I want to know only, are you in line on that path? And also know what I hope to work is behind. That is the only question from my side.
Yeah, so I'll confirm that, 15%, if you're looking at FY28, and certainly we are there, we'll exit FY28, but, above 15% the ROE. And as far as worst is behind, yes, worst is behind us. I mean, you must have seen, the type of provisioning, what is, even if you have to take for quarter four also, it is largely of the legacy portfolio. So, I mean, we are getting in, we are creating a new good portfolio because of guardrails also, and also we have got a guarantee cover issued. So we don't foresee much challenge, you know, going forward. And whatever provisioning you have seen off late or maybe in this quarter also, it is largely on account of the legacy portfolio.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Bhumin Shah from Equirus AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi. So by when we are planning to reach a net NPA ratio of less than 1%? And how are we planning to provide provisions for the same?
Can you just repeat the question? It could not hear it properly. Can you just repeat a little louder, please?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Now it's better.
Yeah, by when are we planning to reach a net NPA ratio of less than 1%? Because before the crisis, I guess we have been operating in the range of 0.3 to 0.5%. And how are we planning to provide provisions to reach this ratio? If you can
so our idea is that, yeah, sure. I think FY28 is what we expect that we should be, you know, reaching this range. And one, obviously, through, you know, reduction in the overall NPA, recovering, you know, whatever are the NPA of past, whatever is percentage possible. And certainly, as you can see that we have been providing also for the NPA in past also. And now we have gone to almost below 3.5% also. So idea is to recovery as well as providing for during, you know, next, whatever is the balance NPAs are there in next few quarters. So our estimate is that, you know, quarter FY22 we should be net NPA in the range you just mentioned.
Of 0.3 to 0.5 or less than 1%?
No, less than 1%, within 1%, yeah.
Okay.
We have already reached 3.3 is our FY28 you know, net NPA. FY26 is 3.3, and the idea is to reach around below 1% by FY28.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kiran Roy, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Kiran sir, please go ahead. Kiran sir, can you hear me? Kiran sir, please unmute yourself and go ahead. As there is no response, we move ahead. Reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of MB Mahesh from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. One question on the non-MFI slippages. It has been running still higher, about 4-odd%. If you could just kind of tell us what is driving this number.
Amit, our CRO is just about to respond to you. Yeah.
Yeah, no issues.
If you see the non-MFI space or retail space, wheels has been, one of the problem area for us in the past. Which we are trying to address. And if you'll see the collection efficiency or the resolution percentages across the buckets in the last 3-4 months, since November onwards, we have controlled the NPA percentages, but yes, we need to bring it down drastically. But the resolution in the earlier buckets, so flowing into NPA bucket, the SMA 1 and 2, we have tried to arrest it, and which we have done successfully. Second is that the portfolio mix movement. So the past more than 12 months, we are trying to move away from new and doing more of the used. So if you see the disbursement percentage contribution of the used on the overall portfolio, you will see it hovers around 12%. Whereas from last 7 to 8 months disbursement, you will see the needle has moved to close to 30%. So 30% around the used business is being done. And also we did a lot of portfolio analysis last year, and we did a lot of policy norms and other parameter intervention basis the portfolio analysis. And if you see the last 18 months disbursement, including new or used, whatever the bank has done the disbursement post October 24, the last 18 months, the new portfolio is performing pretty well as compared to the earlier portfolio. The NPA levels hovers below 2% post 24 portfolio created. So the wheels have been a major contributor in the overall. Otherwise, if you see the other portfolios like your housing or LAP or even micro LAP portfolio or our BBG, which is a working capital portfolio, again all these backed by hard collaterals like residential or commercial properties, so they are under, you know, tolerance level. Wheels has been the contributor in the overall retail lending, which you will see in at least another 2 quarters this would also be in a very, very under control level.
Perfect. Sir, Govind sir, in your opening remark, you had mentioned a PPOP number, which is adjusted for, I think, the slippages in terms of the interest income reversal. That number was 140 crores. Did I hear that correctly?
That's right. We had 59 crore of PPOP, and we had a reversal during the whole year, all 4 quarters combined of 81. That adds up to 140. This is pure rear reversals on the slippages that happened during the quarter.
On interest reversal?
On interest reversal due to slippages that go into the quarter, that you reverse the last 3 years in, 3 months income. That's right, Mahesh.
So that number is 140 crores for the quarter, if you adjust for slippages. Interest reversal.
No, it is 140 crore for the full year.
Perfect. And in your assessment, this number for next year, how are you looking at it? If you have some sense of it?
If the trajectory of collection efficiency as we are seeing, remains, and the disbursement going around, in the new guardrail, I guess this reversal should be arrested. It's a combination of your standard book going into GNPA, which you lose the interest, which should be by the So by and large, I guess your steady-state interest income, though not visible now, but that should find its revival in the coming quarters, next 4 quarters. So the reversals by the nature will be less, and you will see that as actual, the book that where the interest accrual actually has to happen will be returning back.
Okay, perfect. And what will be outstanding stock? If you look at your collections that you're seeing today, if you could just kind of give us a color on how much of recovery that you are currently seeing of the stock of bad loans, which has been written off.
Written off collection, if I really, and I've done this back of the envelope, try to say that, in my P&L, whatever is the credit for write-off versus, the write-off number on inventory, it works out to 12 to 14% recovery.
But that has not changed as yet. It continues to remain in the same range.
That is right, but I just want to add to my share that we have this headcount for collection that we ramped up primarily to arrest the slippages from X bucket to SMA. Now that normalization has already happened, or maybe a quarter more to work on that, if that actually goes the way we are looking at, then the allocation of that headcount, at least, some decent 30% kind of an headcount will then be shifted for collecting the write-off for NPA, and therefore I presume, in the sense that the execution plan, the write-off collection should be better off in the coming year, because that extra collection force should now get allocated to collect the legacy of the NPA or the write-off.
Perfect. And just one last question. Assuming that you are able to grow next year at 25 to 30%, adjusting for the collection machinery that is sitting there, any sense on how much of OPEX would be required against it?
How much of?
OPEX, the operating expenses.
Only for the collection team, you are saying?
No, no, no. I'm just saying, in your sense, given that you have built some machinery around all the other assets, is it safe to assume that the OPEX is going to be meaningfully lower than the loan book? Just trying to understand some direction between the past investment made versus the growth that you're likely to see in the book next year.
So, you know, whatever the, I mean, as I said, that one way to look at it is this collection force, when normalization happens, you
correct.
Tend to, yeah, but I guess the idea is to go on the write-off collection. So even if it were to continue the cost, I guess the delta will be in multiple in terms of retaining them, taking that cost and getting a credit on the P&L line for the NPA collection that I just mentioned to you, write-off and NPA.
So Mahesh, though, I may not have exact numbers, but it will happen in two parts. First part is that I have got a cost and I expect that I should be able to raise, you know, 20 to 30% growth in the portfolio with the same
correct.
Cost. So that is one thing will happen. Second, suppose you have around 1,200-1,300 people who are hardcore collection people only. Our expectation, and that is what is happening right now, the cost may be around 25 to 30%, you know, whatever the amount they bring. So suppose they bring in 1 lakh rupees, their cost may be around 30,000 rupees. I'm again a ballpark number. So, and because we have a large pool, you know, which needs to be recovered, and we have seen in first 2 to 3 years time, I mean, you're able to recover the chunk. Thereafter, it is 1%, 2% only. So idea is that at least for next one and a half year, let us keep this team there. And whatever, you know, is their cost, at least 3 times of that I'll be able to recover from this collection team. So these are two numbers. I don't know the exact number the way you expect, but this is, I think, how it will happen. Viren, you want to add something?
Yeah, so in the last quarter, we collected close to 50 crores from this NPA and write-off pool with this 900 odd people at that time in the field. So, which is close to some 20% of the collected value from this pool. So, this vertical or this collection will continue to be stable for at least next couple of quarters, which will give us an upside on that side.
And Mahesh, indeed, the other side, because our, you know, the case load has actually gone down significantly in the range of now 330 to 350, our expectation is that I will be able to build, as I mentioned, an additional 25 to 30% portfolio with the same cost. So I may not, my cost may not go down, but my income and my top line will go up
correct.
By around
correct.
25 to 30% with the same cost. I think that is what will happen
now. That's what you're asking. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, Mahesh.
In the interest of time, we'll take that. That was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, ISEC team, for this. And thanks all the investors for your continued support. As you have seen, I think things have changed significantly during last few quarters. And we expect that, you know, next few quarters should be a significant improvement in the trajectory. And as we have mentioned that for FY28, at least in the next 2 years' time, we should be back to 15% ROE and, you know, good return, you know, overall good all KPIs. So thank you for your support and keep exploring and keep talking to you. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.